Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. There's so much going on, and it's very, very serious. I was to feature today Joe Olson, who's an expert in a wide range of subjects, virtually every area of engineering, and especially regarding the use of nuclear devices on 9/11. We were going to be talking after the break with two individuals who've experienced in the Navy the effects of what happened on 9/11, because the Navy, in its colossal stupidity, built ships out of steel from the remnants of 9/11, which had been radiated. So we've got these American ships that are radioactive, and we got American sailors who are suffering the effects. Now, she and her husband were going to be featured today, and guess what? She's involved in certain legal aspects, and they got a sudden, abrupt directive she has to be in court just at the same time the show was to begin today. My opinion, this is not a coincidence. But the fact is, I have Joe here, and I'm especially happy because the lead story I wanted to share during the first segment is directly related to nuclear devices and could not be more serious. Russian Ministry of Defense and Intelligence Bureau shouting from rooftops, Ukraine to detonate dirty nuclear device. According to a statement from the Russian Ministry of Defense, the detonation by Ukraine of some type of radioactive device, which I dare say they got from the USA, is now imminent. Ukraine is losing the war with Russia so badly, they're preparing to cause a doomsday radiation scenario to get NATO to come into the war on the side of Ukraine. According to Russia's MOD, the following additional acts will also be undertaken by Ukraine. The Kakhachkova Dam and the Dnipro Dam will be blown up. A dirty nuclear bomb or tactical nuke will be detonated in Kherson. All six reactors units at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant will be blown up. The Zakhachkova Dam is shown below on a Google satellite map, which is going to be scaled to show an enlarged area for readers to see the area. And Joe and I are looking, and you'll only see it if you have a chance to catch the video. But this is a massive, you know, a dam with massive backup of water on the Dnipro River, very significant. The Dnipro Dam is even larger. So this first one is a Kavashokaya electrical power plant, where the Dnipro Dam is even larger. Also on a Google map, we're looking at it. These are massive dams. If one or both were blown up by Ukraine or anyone else, they would release an unimaginable torrent of water, which will flood and destroy gigantic areas of land downstream. The primary areas to be wrecked by such a release would be Kherson, one of the four oblast states that recently voted to leave Ukraine and become part of Russia. Just yesterday, Hal Turner reported on his show that Russian Defense Minister Shoigu had telephone conversation with his counterparts from the U.S., France, Turkey, and other nations, directly warning them that Ukraine is planning to do these things because Ukraine is losing the war and they're utterly desperate to cause NATO to enter the fight on the side of Ukraine. But he may not be calculating, nor is he. U.S., France, Turkey are all in on it. Certainly the U.S. is in on it. France, I think, knows this is coming and wants to stay as far away as possible. So Macron has already declared that if Russia were to use tactical nukes in Ukraine, that would not mean that France would retaliate as well. Today we can report that Sergei Nerikushin, the secretive head of Russia's Federal Security Bureau, the FSB, has come out publicly that they have verified covert intelligence Ukraine is already well in way in preparation to do this. The defense minister and the FSB head are among the highest ranking in the Russian government. They are putting their names on this information, a risk to their career and public standing, yet they're shouting from the rooftops that Ukraine is already undertaking the steps to carry out these attacks. Men in these types of position do not lay their careers and reputation on the line lightly, yet they are doing exactly that. The Zaporizhzhia nuclear plan, far and away the worst aspect of these alleged plans, is an attack on all six reactors at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, located in yet another oblast, which recently voted to use Ukraine and become part of Russia. The map below shows a computer model of the radiation release from just one of the six reactors at the power plant. It would quickly be carried by prevailing winds to saturate Poland, continue moving into Germany. NATO has already publicly declared that if a radiation incident in Ukraine causes radiation to travel into NATO countries, then NATO will consider it an attack and would invoke NATO Treaty Article 5 Collective Self-Defense. Russia has long ago made clear that if NATO were to declare Article 5 Collective Self-Defense against Russia, it will be a war no one will win. Now think about it. Ukraine saying this off and the radiation is spread by the wind. That's nothing over which Russia has any control. So NATO is saying if Ukraine pulls up a false flag and the wind blows it over NATO countries, that NATO would take it to be an attack on NATO. How absurd is that? Meanwhile, he offered an update, another phone call between the U.S. and Russian military officials on the supposed Ukrainian dirty bomb. Today, and this was on the 24th, Russian General Gerasimov also spoke by phone with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley. The topic, you guess it, a dirty bomb. Here is a photo of the two top-ranking generals. This is a third call on the topic of the past week alone, an extremely worrying sign. Now, Joe, I want to bring you in for your reactions, but I got to apologize that there's something about the Zoom today that if I bring you in, I get cut off by the sound. So you go ahead and give us your thoughts right off the bat.
Okay, do we have video going too?
Yeah, we do have the images, just not you personally. You can't see it?
No, I can't see any, but that doesn't matter. The Kakhovka electric dam is 16 and a half meters, which is only 50 feet tall. but it's a 2,155 square mile lake. So when you discharge that amount of water, you are going to have problems downstream. That's item number one. Item number two, it's the cooling pond for the nuclear power plant that's there. When you lose cooling water, we all know what happens to the meltdown that you end up from there. So bottom line, I want to back up and apologize for what happened to our proposed guest for today. I have two Navy veterans who are going to inform us about an enormous number of things. Number one was that the U.S. Navy has built three different destroyers using steel from the World Trade Center building. And as you and I've discussed, iron has four stable isotopes, 24 radioactive isotopes. Steel is made out of carbon and iron. That's the iron. And so carbon also adds two stable and 13 radioactive isotopes. So any steel that was irradiated because of the nuclear blast at the World Trade Center building would have long-term radioactive output. And these people served on ships where they know they took Geiger count measurements and they were going to be able to testify about that. So this morning, she had also had some problems with the VA as far as prenatal and delivery for her baby. The VA said, we offer abortion services, but we do not offer any prenatal or maternity services at the VA hospital in Houston, which, you know, we're talking 5 million people in this area. There's a lot of veterans. So that's a pretty much abject failure on the part of the VA. So she started making noise about it. Next thing you know, she's on the red flag list. She's the first person, the VA in Texas, to be charged with a red crime law to confiscate her guns. And there was supposed to be a hearing in November. This morning, her attorney calls her and said, we've got an emergency update on our hearing. You have to be in court today. So she doesn't know if it's because they are following her emails and they knew we were going to be discussing some of these subjects, or if because she has a Facebook page where she's sharing some of this data online. But, maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't want to get too far into that. But let's just back up and do a little bit of discussion about how dangerous radioactivity is. The woman who won two Nobel Prizes, Marie Curie, C-U-R-I-E, discovered radium and polonium. She also developed the first mobile X-ray units, and she died at age 66 from radioactive poisoning. She got aplastic anemia. And so we know for a fact that this is dangerous. If you want to have a little bit further confirmation of that, go to atomicveteran.info. This is the government compensation site where they're giving $75,000 compensation for the veterans that they knowingly exposed to nuclear radiation at hundreds of different nuclear tests, as well as compensation for the other atomic workers and people that were downwinders in Nevada. Yep. So we know that the government knows how dangerous this material is, and we also know that they are entirely capable of making these things destructive for as wide an area as possible. So the fact that they're doing this absolutely does not surprise me at all. What we need to do is we need to sound the alarm loud enough that our idiot leaders in Washington denounce this pending false flag, which I would trust the Russians far more than our government on.
What do you think is more likely to have precipitated an immediate court appearance at the very time she'd be discussing the use of radiated steel from the World Trade Center, which obviously implies that it was destroyed using a nuclear device, or the fact that VA care is substandard, which is well known for decades and decades, Joe? I don't think this is a tough call. They did not want someone who is in a position to testify about radiation hazards from ships that are made out of World Trade Center steel. This is just stunning. But look, I want to go much more about radiation. I just want to further develop the warning coming from the Minister of Defense of Russia, because Joaquin Hagopian has just published a new piece. It's on my blog. West nuclear false flag to hit Central Europe to blame Putin is imminent. So he's confirming what we are reporting here. The ongoing saga of an imminent false flag continues to unfold each and every day as we go closer to the November 8th midterm election. though the Western media doing elite propaganda bidding is focused on the lie that a weak and desperate, increasingly mentally unstable Vladimir Putin is planning to use tactical nukes in Ukraine or beyond, intended to pave the way for global acceptance that the out-of-options deranged despot from Russia is a world threat, terrifyingly plunging humanity toward self-destruction. All one has to do is simply review past history to know that the Western windbags are just spreading more of their bullshit, calling it breaking news. Again, for centuries, fear and terror are the key operative words elites use repeatedly to manipulate and control emotions, perceptions, and behavior of the masses. This hybrid world war we are all now engaged in, like it or not, is as much an information war for mind control as a potential kinetic military world war between nuclear powers. Back in May 2022, famed millmaker Oliver Stone stated on Twitter, "I wonder if the U.S. is setting a stage for a low-yield nuclear explosion killing thousands of Ukrainians to blame Russia, regardless of who launched the device." Earlier this month, an interview of another West Point graduate, as is Joaquin himself, class of 1966, I attended school with Colonel Douglas McGregor, a military analyst with an astute, sound mind, observed as following. "The Russians have made it abundantly clear that they regard nuclear weapons as purely retaliatory. That is to say, unless someone attacks them with a nuke, they have no intention of using them, and they don't need them." A quick stroll down memory lane. Why don't you just mute there, Joe? You're getting background. Exposes extensive U.S. history of notorious false flags, specifically used with the intent to start American wars. Staged fake events conspired and executed by the elites in order to falsely blame others as a go-to means to instigate another war is all too commonplace. Virtually every U.S. war since 1898, remember the Maine, the fictionalized, jingoistic Randolph Hearst newspaper headline used to push America into another imperialistic war against Spain that eventually prompted the U.S. to steal Puerto Rico, the Philippines, and Guam. Irrefutably, FDR's complicit foreknowledge of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, set up by a U.S. embargo on Japan in 1940, that led to the attack on another stolen U.S. island territory, Hawaii, killing 2,403 innocent Americans, used as cannon fodder to justify U.S. World War II entry. Not unlike the over 1,100 passenger victims sunk on the Lusitania, uses more cannon fodder to manipulate entry into World War I. Then there were little-known covert incursions into North Korea prior to the outbreak of the Korean War. Paramilitary commando saboteur missions organized by Army counterintelligence baited and precipitated the North Korean invasion of the South to mark the official start of the war in June 1950. The following decade, the bold-faced lie that North Vietnamese gunboats fired on U.S. Navy vessels in the Gulf of Tonkin in 1964 was as the next U.S. false flag start to the nation dividing a decades-long Vietnam War. The Project for a New American Century neocon think tank spawned the new Pearl Harbor of 9/11, a precursor to the U.S.-Israeli 9/11 false flag killing nearly 3,000 Americans, ushering the war on terror for the Zionist Greater Israel Project to justify invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, to say CIA asset Osama bin Laden, also known as Tim Osman, and fake weapons of mass destruction, respectively, as a false flag excuse for yet two more long wars killing 12.5 million Muslims and about 9,000 Americans. So many notorious proven falsehoods regularly deployed by the D.C. battering ram, initiating every engineered banker's war for well over a century. All war crimes against humanity are committed by the same usual bloodline suspects since the Napoleonic Wars. The elites, international criminal cabals, puppets in Washington, D.C., conveniently will serve as a Khazarian mafia enforcer, bully and battering ram, and during the last three decades to maintain U.S. unipolar hegemony as a stepping stone toward establishing one world government tyranny to be dominated by whom? The Rothschild family. In other words, to be a new world under Jewish control. In 2014, the deep state neocons were out once again illegally overthrowing Ukraine's democratically elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, for favoring alliance with Putin's Russia over the U.S., NATO, West, taking us up to the planned but thwarted March 2022 invasion after Eric Prince, the CIA and U.S. NATO-trained Kiev neo-Nazi battalions to kill more than 14,000 ethnic Russians already purged between the Donbass region declaring its 2014 independence from Ukraine and Putin's February 2022 incursion. But in February, Putin beat them to the punch with his special military operation to denazify and demilitarize Ukraine, cleaning up the devil's playground filth from the poisonous DOD-funded bioweapon labs, rampant organized crime, trafficking of child sex slaves, human organ, drugs, and illegal arms on the black market, where most of the West Save Ukraine weapons ended up. It's a cesspool, and Putin's doing the world a favor cleaning it up. By globalist Cold War design, DC's pathological fixation to encircle Russia with hostile NATO members, complete with U.S.-made nuclear warheads aimed at Russia, despite repeated broken promises of not one inch eastward, also how propaganda deception is malignantly used for violent destruction and control by American corporatist military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about in his January 61 farewell address. For a very long time, the same criminal cabal has used war, pandemics with recent deadly vaccines, economic depression, and unnatural disasters via weather warfare to both profit from and control a subjugated, preyed upon, largely duped, and depopulated earth inhabitants by divine and rural deception and fear. But with a COVID pandemic overreach, where now the public is largely refusing any more pandemic kill shots, just over 2% foolish enough to take the latest booster after more than a month and a half, because it's accepted the reality they are extremely dangerous to human health, and then the created tension of an impending wage the darn nuclear war against Putin over Ukraine in order to blame Russia for the 2060 election and the elite's manufactured crises of inflation, food and fuel shortages, exorbitant cost of living increases, all for genocidal purposes, where the failed kill shot isn't killing enough of us. Yet despite this grave reality, the primary U.S. public health agency, with a CDC decision this week to incorporate the known harmful, lethal non-vaccine to part of every American six-month-old infant's immunization schedule, is the most heinous crime of them all. Humanity and children need justice against these criminals flagrantly rubbing their genocide in our face. So, with this despicable background, all based on irrefutably proven historical fact, it becomes a no-brainer to realize what the Khazarian Mafia is up to now. The deep state cabal, represented by the Anglo-American Zio Empire Axis of Evil, comprised of the ruling elites that are the planetary bloodline overlords, out of desperation for being exposed for their unlimited genocidal crimes against us, have now launched their latest false flag operation, their perfect storm, convergent engineered crisis as a grand final destruction that genocidal architects King Charles and Klaus Schwab affectionately call their Great Reset. The most recent indications of a coming false flag, reinforced by the known historical pattern that renders the prospect of a false flag operation highly impended, is to be expected any day now. I recently detailed the media's extensive coverage reporting a possible false flag, with Western media fingering Putin, the usual culprit, while Russian and independent media primarily cite the West, specifically the U.S. and U.K., as most probable perpetrators of an impending nuclear false flag, which my October 21st piece presents amounting credible circumstantial evidence. The specific provocation by Ukraine centered around a potential dirty bomb, a conventional explosive combined with radioactive material, heavily reported in Russian press, it could be used to trigger a massive explosion large enough to destroy the Kherson Dam that would flood the entire region, wreaking a massive death count and hence a precautionary evacuation by Russia. The tactical nuke of a dirty bomb detonating in Ukraine, currently attracting so much internet attention, may well be a smoke and mirrors distraction. During this past week, much activity and media focus from both sides have been on the Kherson region, with Western accounts maintaining that not only are civilians being forced to evacuate, but that Russian troops are also said to be withdrawing from the area west of the Dnieper River, falling back to positions east to avoid a devastating rout. Both Russian media and Russian bloggers insist that aside from the false flag dam threat by Ukraine causing civilian evacuation, Russia has actually been moving fortified reinforcements into Kherson City, crossing from the east, advancing west of the Dnieper, and that in all likelihood, once the Russian troop buildup is accomplished, an offensive further westward toward Odessa may be initiated in November. The rest of this presentation will focus on unfolding developments showing that a nuclear false flag appears more than imminent. On Sunday, October 23rd, Russian Minister of Defense Sergei Shoigu contacted four of his Western counterparts. According to RT, in the early afternoon, he had a conversation with the French Defense Minister Sébastien Lecornu to discuss the increasingly alarming situation in Ukraine, which is consistently veering toward further uncontrolled escalation. A short time later, Shoigu contacted his Turkish counterpart to address a provocation threat of a potential dirty bomb by Ukrainian forces. Next came a phone conversation Shoigu shared with the UK Minister of Defense, Ben Wallace, who allegedly rebutted the Russian claim. The credible sources both in and out of Ukraine warned that the West is working with Ukraine to stage a false flag opposition of either a dirty bomb or low-yield nuclear weapon. Finally, information was released reporting Shoigu was in contact with U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin over the developing deteriorated situation on the ground in Ukraine. Again, Austin assured the allegations were not to be believed, but it's not like this retired four-star general is trustworthy. As CENTCOM commander, we'll be right back with Joe Olson on this really serious development. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me complete a portion of what Joaquin has written here, because the really, in many ways, the bottom line is not only that this atrocity is about to be committed to justify NATO attacking Russia, which I guarantee you will not have a happy ending. Russia is far better equipped and able to take out the United States and the West than the West is to take out Russia. They have the best ICBMs in the world, the Satan II, as I believe 15 independently targetable warheads. One of those missiles could take out the whole nation of France, for example. They also have the best anti-missile missiles in the world. Their S-500 is the best in the world. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes. They can go at an astonishing speed. They're unstoppable. Similarly, their anti-ship weapons, their missiles are just unstoppable. Now, Joaquin believes that they're going to use this war in order to forestall the election, declare an international military control, a clampdown, to forsake the election where they're going to be wiped out. And mind you, every sign is they're going to be destroyed, that the Democratic Party won't even exist. So what's going on here, I think, is the Democrat equivalent to Zelensky status, where Zelensky knows that Ukraine is going to go down to a massive defeat. So they're going to undertake an extraordinary measure of precipitating a nuclear war, and the Democrats support it because they want to have that as a pretext to finesse the election, which we're going to put them out of commission in my opinion, permanently. Joe, your thoughts?
Yes, well, Hakeem did a great job, but he missed a few data points. We had the Bay of Pigs, where United States CIA absolutely set up JFK and did a attack on Cuba, and then wanted to have the U.S. Air Force come in and mop up, and Kennedy was unaware that this was going on, and so he declined to do that. So that made the CIA a little bit upset. And then they, Russia, because we kept antagonizing them in multiple things, including putting missiles in Turkey, which were within range of Moscow, they decided they'd put some missiles in Cuba to make us realize what was going on. We decided to blockade Cuba, and in the process, a Russian submarine was blocked by U.S. naval vessels, and he had orders to go ahead and nuke the United States, and he had the missiles on board to do that, but he decided to not do his orders, and so he didn't start a war. And then when they tried to get a nuclear test ban treaty and nuclear proliferation treaty signed with Russia, the CIA sent Gary Francis Power over with bad fuel and a U-2, and ended up crashing in Russia so that we could spoil any chance of detente between Kennedy and Khrushchev. Then we also had the USS Liberty, which was under attack for 3 hours by PT boats and fighter jets from Israel, and on the pretense of bringing the United States into the Arab-Israeli war by claiming that the Egyptians had sunk our ship, when in fact it was the U.S. that was, it was Israel that was attacking us. We had plenty of evidence of it. The first thing they did was knock out the communication antennas, but luckily some of the people on board the ship were able to string up a bare copper wire, send out a signal over a non-secure radio frequency, and it was picked up all across Europe. So a bunch of our NATO partners said, hey, looks like one of our boats is being attacked by Israel. And at that time, U.S. Air Force bombers were on their way to nuke Cairo. We would have turned the pyramids into glass under LBJ when he called them off at the last minute. So, you know, we've had this history of doing this nasty stuff for a long time. And getting back to the atomicveterans.info, between 1945 Trinity and the Operation Plowshare in 1962, the United States did over 2,500 nuclear tests, where servicemen were ordered to be exposed to nuclear radiation, and downwinders were told to sit out in your lawn chairs and watch the beautiful mushroom clouds float over your house. So this is absolutely nefarious that these people are doing this. Jim Fetzer and I did our first interview on the nuclear destruction of the World Trade Center building on March 16 of 2015. That was based on 20 articles at the Veterans Today site called Nuclear Education. They followed it up with an additional 60 articles. In 2018, I was contacted by Robert David Steele to write a memo to the president about what happened to the World Trade Center buildings. I wrote an article called Twin Towers Destroyed Using Clean Nukes. I was told by Robert David Steele that the president would not read anything that was over 800 words, and he wouldn't look at anything that didn't have a picture. So we included a picture, and I kept it under 800 words. Then the next year, I was going to be a guest on Coast to Coast AM. There was more information that I'd gathered about the World Trade Center building, so I wrote an article called Unequivocal 911 Nukes, which was posted at Veterans Today. One of my readers contacted me and said, you need to read the Palmer report, P-O-M-M-E-R report, based on four European PhD physicists' analysis of what happened. Absolutely wonderful report, 5,000 words long, 45 PowerPoint slides, and three 90-minute videos describing the exact sequence of operation. They missed a few things, which was the isotopes available by the basic building components, and they didn't understand building construction and how that related to the destruction. So I wrote an additional article at Veterans Today called Exposing the NIST, N-I-S-T, National Institute of Standards and Technology, Jenga game, J-E-N-G-A game. So yeah, those are all available. I'll put the titles down in the comment section so people can look those up. But bottom line is, we have a very nasty government that knows that they're at the end of their economic fiat money rope, and that before long everything's going to be crashing, and that they're going to be blamed for all of the horrible crimes they've committed against humanity. since they nailed Jesus to the cross. And as we know which group is in charge of this, we know that the whole hierarchy of the banking and media monopoly is all controlled by this one particular tribe who have an absolute genocidal hatred for white Christian people in particular. And that's what the main focus is. But after that, they're going to turn their hatred to the tribes of every other continent on the planet because these people are genocidal maniacs.
Joe, that's all excellent. And actually, Joaquin didn't leave out. There's just so much more to his piece, which you can find on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Among the points he makes is that the West knows that Russia is winning the war in Ukraine, but CIA-controlled deceptive propaganda ministry will never admit the truth because it doesn't promote the false narrative. Once Putin's military carries out within the week, all the while bombing and destroying Kiev's entire energy structure, the West will tell us nothing about it. They know they can no longer win the war against Russia, nor they continue to. They're going to have to deal with the stockpile they have. And Joe, I just see this as really quite catastrophic as to what's going to happen here. Therefore, he writes, the West needs a false flag attack in order to preserve what's left of their waning power in NATO, Europe, and in North America, Australia, New Zealand, all in with a Marxist totalitarian New World Order. For that reason, these subhumans will sacrifice Ukraine and or Germany as a targeted victims of a false flag nuclear attack. Russia will not be attacked with nuclear weapons as Moscow retaliation would strike first, annihilating the West. The Western cabal wants to preserve this outcome and has already accepted Russia's victory and Ukraine's defeat as an unavoidable consequence at this point. It's really stunning what's going on here, Joe. I mean, but it's easily a predictable outcome when you look at the past history here. I cannot recommend strongly enough reviewing the entire article. It's much more extensive than what I've been able to provide here. Joe, now, don't you agree that the use of the 9/11 steel on these ships was not only, you know, stupendously stupid, but that the fact is that revealing that reveals that 9/11 was nuclear and one of the biggest false flags of world history. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you've got radioactive evidence because the buildings weren't radioactive when they were built, but they certainly, the remnants were radioactive for a century afterwards. So, yeah, we've got, absolute fingerprint of that. And one of the other things that he makes comment about, and this just bothers me tremendously, Eisenhower was a CFR member from 1924 until he died. He was a 100% sock puppet for the bankers. He did the Rhine Garden POW camps where an estimated million German POWs were starved to death and frozen to death after World War II. And I have absolutely no admiration for the guy. His beware of the military-industrial complex was his Pontius Pilate washing the blood from his hands as he walked from the office. He's an absolutely hideous individual, as been every president that we've had in the 20th century, and certainly in the 21st century. We have the most disgusting leadership imaginable, misleading our country repeatedly, and the current administration is another example of that.
Well, bear in mind, I mean, Jack was whacked because he was going to disband the CIA, shattered into 1,000 pieces. He was going to pull our forces out of Vietnam by the end of 1964. He was cracking down on organized crime, more prosecutions and convictions than ever in history. He was going to cut the oil depletion allowance, which the Texas oilmen regarded as their divine right. He was going to reform or abolish the Fed. He was opposing Israel's acquisition of nuclear weapons on the ground it would initiate a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. And he'd refuse to invade Cuba, contrary to the Joint Chiefs' unanimous recommendation. I mean, that guy was on the right track. And of course, he was whacked. So every president since has known that they serve in office at the end of the barrel of a rifle, bottom line. And it's just shocking how much we've been lied consistently. But I think Joe, you're talking about Eisenhower and Truman. I think they really moved massively, however, after... See, I regard JFK, as it were, as an accidental president, just as I do Donald Trump. You're very severe on Trump. I believe he did a whole lot of good for the nation, more so than any other president of recent times. He gave us a robust economy. He made us energy independent. He called out the fake news. He secured the borders. So we had then 40% of the blacks already declaring in a poll, Rasmussen in 2019, they were going to vote for Trump. We have a similar phenomenon going on now as we approach the midterms, because while the Democrats are so wild about abortion, Hispanics, who are predominantly Catholic, are not. They also are appalled at the open borders and letting all these people in who have no commitment to the country, no talent or ability to contribute, and are just going to siphon off resources for the nation and lead to an economic collapse. So the traditional pillars of Democrat support have crumbled. It's absolutely stunning. We have further developments of a judge striking down the New York City vaccine mandate, finding the ruling to be unconstitutional, arbitrary, and capricious. That's really wonderful. It strikes down a mandate that saw over 2,000 city workers fired for not getting the COVID shot. An attorney involved here said the ruling extends to all public workers, including the fire department, police department, and Department of Corrections. That's pretty stunning all by itself. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court ordered reinstatement of employees fired over the vaccine status with back pay. The New York Supreme Court has ordered reinstatement for all employees fired over their non-vaccinated status and ordered back pay for those who unlawfully terminated from employment. They found that being vaccinated does not stop the spread of COVID, saying the vaccine mandate and firing of the non-compliant employees was arbitrary and capricious. So this is an aspect of that very story. This is a strong rebuke to the totalitarian fiats created by state leaders, including the state governor, mayor of New York City, and health commissioner. And, of course, we have with Fetterman actually got on the stage with Dr. Oz last night, and it was a catastrophe. He couldn't complete sentences. He was cognitively incompetent. It was the case that it was a disaster from the very first sentence he uttered to the last. I mean, it was just chaos. And even Democrats realized this was just god-awful, Joe. You follow all these developments rather closely. I mean, I think there's just overwhelming evidence that it's going to be the midterms are going to be a red wave. We got Newt Gingrich even predicting as many as 7 Senate seats being picked up by the Republicans, and 50, as many as 50 in the House. I've said as many as 100. Well, we'll see who's right about it, but I think it's going to be just a total benefit for the Republicans if we have an election. And this, I just say, I can't emphasize enough, that's why the Democrats seem to be all in for this nuclear false flag, so they can declare a martial law in the United States and preempt the election. Your assessment?
Yeah, well, for the kids that haven't been paying attention here, let's circle back to the JFK issue. We had LBJ, who had a brother-in-law who was a deputy sheriff in Texas, and he knew that LBJ was involved in at least a dozen murders in Texas, and he had provided that information to Robert Kennedy, Attorney General, and they were going to be able to prosecute LBJ, and they were going to remove him from the ticket in 1964. So he only had one way of getting out of jail, and that was to take JFK out, and he had the assistance of the CIA member George H.W. Bush, who was in the Daltex building on the second floor directing 6 different sniper locations that fired a total of 9 shots. And we have his son, little baby Bush, who was standing in front of the school book depository building. So we have presidential libraries in the United States, I mean, in the state of Texas, for 3 presidents that never attended the colleges where their libraries are located, And all three of them were present for the assassination of RFK. Now, getting back to the Fetterman interview debate with Dr. Oz, Oz is a total 100% Oprah New World Order turd in his own right. But Fetterman is fully jabbed, and that's why he ended up getting a stroke. But he postponed doing the debate until the last possible minute. And I was listening this morning. They said that the mail-in ballots had already been sent out, and that 350,000 mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, quote, had already been returned prior to the only debate these two clowns had. So we have a vast number of Pennsylvania voters that weren't allowed to see exactly how terrible the Democratic candidate was, all by design.
Yeah, all by design. Absolutely all by design. So this stuff is really quite incredible. The ship thing is fascinating. Would you not agree? It's more likely that she was called into court to keep her off of the air to talk about this revelation. I mean, once you realize 9/11 was a nuclear event show, I mean, all bets are off, because then you realize how scummy the American government has become. And no one is going to have any confidence in the American government ever again. Not that they ought to have continued belief in the government to this day. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, I had turned it mute because there were some people walking through the library.
Yeah.
Yes, well, she also had evidence. Her attorney, like I said, is a veteran, and he managed to get veterans' records for the number of veterans that are going to be subject to red flag laws, and that was going to be 270,000 veterans nationwide that are going to be suddenly on the white supremacist, you can no longer have a firearm in your home and your family members can't have one that you have access to. So that means that everybody's going to have a lockable safe, and they're going to be under 24-hour surveillance to make sure that the person that's supposedly a red flag threat to America is not going to be able to do any of the things that veterans are trained to do. And I had an interesting program that I attended back in January of this year. A guy named Brian Talley, T-A-L-L-Y, was in the Marine Corps. He was injured on the job. He had VA benefits, so he went to the VA hospital. He had absolute provable case of malpractice against the VA. But the VA had a tricky little thing where they said that if an independent doctor was the one that worked on you, then he's the one that's in charge of your case, and you have no case against any of the staff at the VA hospital. So he filed a malpractice complaint against the VA hospital. They kept delaying it, saying it was going through arbitration. They'd notify him. The day that statute of limitations expired in California, he got a notice from the VA says your case has been declined. He went and pursued this in Congress. He went through both houses of Congress by himself. He managed to get a law passed called the Brian Talley Law, which was passed and signed by Donald Trump days before the January 20th turnover of power, and immediately after FJB took office, he signed an executive order voiding that contract. So this affected at least 70,000 veterans that they know of that had had their benefits denied and their malpractice claims denied due to the chicanery of the VA hospital. So what's happening is we're having an enormous amount of recruitment problems because people are seeing through the myth that the VA is going to be able to protect you, and that you're nothing but a guinea pig where you're forced to get vaccinations and you're going to be subject to white hate, BLM programming, and you're also going to have no benefits to speak of. You're going to get college education funding that it'll only do a portion of your college fees, and then you'll end up with a degree that's worthless. So bottom line, the whole entire comic scheme is collapsing on.
Well, let me pick up again about Fetterman. The Political Insider has a wonderful review of it that really brings out what happened here. John Fetterman's painful debate performance was so horrific, even liberals are shocked, by Rusty Wise. Left-wing pundits from Chris Cuomo to Joe Scarborough were gassed following Pennsylvania Democrat Senate candidate John Fetterman's painful debate performance Tuesday evening. The term painful is being incredibly kind. Fetterman squared off against Republican candidate Mehmet Oz, where it became immediately evident why the Democrats' campaign wanted nothing to do with debating from the outset. The performance did more than call into question Fetterman's mental capabilities following a stroke he suffered back in May. It proved beyond a doubt that he is unfit to serve. And those around Fetterman knew it. His campaign tried to temper expectations prior to the debate, issuing a statement warning that viewers would see awkward pauses and other communication errors. There was no amount of warning that could prepare Pennsylvania voters for what actually took place. It was a debacle for the Democrat. John Fetterman's debate performance, it was clear, was going off the rails early and often. How early? About 10 seconds in. What qualifies you to be a U.S. senator, the debate moderator asked. Hi, good night, everybody, came the response. From there, it got worse, much worse, and often. Fox News host Tucker Carlson described the debate as a full-blown 30-car Amtrak derailment for Fetterman. Responding to claims by Oz that he'd failed to pay his taxes, the Democrat, who may hold the key to power in the Senate following the 2022 midterms, replied, and I quote, it was helping two students 17 years ago to help them buy their own homes. They for and didn't pay the bills and got our paid. And it has never been an issue in any of the campaign before. I'm sorry, what now? Bizarre response. When Oz pointed out that Fetterman had been financially supported by his parents and received a house from his sister for $1, the reply was, he, Oz, got his Pennsylvania house from his own in ladies for $1. That's typical. What in the world? The response. Fetterman sputtered his way through commentary that the most American bargain is the ability to work full-time and to be able to live in dignity is well true. Clay Travis tweeted, John Fetterman can't speak. This is disqualifying. Just watch. Answers like this are happening over and over. Perhaps the piece de resistance of the entire night was Fetterman's response to having flip-flopped his position on fracking, a key platform for Pennsylvania voters. After the debate moderator pointed to a statement in which a guy said, I don't support fracking at all, Fetterman responded, I do support fracking, and I don't. I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking. Back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, this is a drill, this is a drill, on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I want to share a bit more of this reporting from the Political Insider about the Fetterman-Oz debate, and then return to this question about the ships, the naval ships made out of Twin Tower steel. Why did his handlers allow this campaign at all? Why did they continue to abuse an unwell man by forcing him to run for Congress when he's unqualified and incoherent? Tim Young tweeted, "If Fetterman were a Republican, this debate would be a Saturday Night Live cold open." The performance was so frighteningly bad that even the staunchest liberal pundits had a tough time putting any positive spin on what they had just witnessed. News Nation host and disgraced ex-CNN employee Chris Cuomo provided the understatement of the evening, saying Fetterman struggled. He clearly is dealing with health issues that affect his ability to process and his ability to speak, Cuomo said. Clearly, fitness for office is going to be on the table. Here's RNC Research tweeting, "Chris Cuomo on tonight's Pennsylvania Senate debate, voters, I think, saw things that will definitely change the state of this race. Fetterman struggled. I don't think his preparation was great." MSNBC's resident loon Joe Scarborough admitted Fetterman's ability to communicate is seriously impaired and added, "It was painful to watch regardless of one's politics. Pennsylvania voters will be talking about this obvious fact, even if many in the media will not," he added. David Axelrod, a Democrat strategist who served as a senior advisor to Obama, was equally dismayed. Fetterman needed to show he sufficiently recovered in this debate. Surely did not help. Oz needed to show authenticity, decency, and connection. I'm sure his team is high-fiving tonight, but he didn't help himself on those essential scores. Neither of them could. Well, I tell you, there's no question but what Oz did not come across as incoherent or demented or incapable of speech. In terms of even the most elementary basics, Oz was clearly head and shoulders ahead of Fetterman, who's utterly incompetent. He's handicapped. He's a disabled person. Numerous other left-leaning political pundits far and wide panned the Fetterman debate performance. John Scarborough, this is painful to watch. Elizabeth Vargas, it is very painful. Charlotte Alter, I spoke to Fetterman recently, and I expected him to be very bad tonight, but he was much worse than I expected, and much worse than in a one-to-one conversation. Chris Newsy, there's no amount of empathy for and understanding about Fetterman's health and recovery that changes the fact that this is absolutely painful to watch. The debate was vindication for NBC News journalist Dasha Burns, who earlier this month revealed shocking video showing Fetterman needing assistance from a transcription program to understand the question being asked of him face to face. Here's a tweet from NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor and Democrat Senate candidate John Fetterman sat down with Dasha Burns in an exclusive interview using closed captioning. Fetterman discussed his recovery after suffering a stroke in the primaries in his race against Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz. There's a video there. In small talk, before the interview without captioning, it wasn't clear he was understanding her conversation, Burns told viewers. She was widely criticized by left-wing media for calling out Fetterman's clear and obvious disability. And this guy has been some kind of hero to the progressive press. He's a huge guy. He's like 6'6 or 6'9. He wears very strange clothing. He turned up with a suit and tie for this event, but normally he looks like a homeless guy out on the stomp. Joe, do you have any further thoughts you'd like to add? Joe, would you like to add further comments? I know you have to unmute.
Yes, okay. Sorry, forgot to unmute. Yeah, well, his ostensive excuse is that his stroke affected his hearing ability, so he has to have the questions transcribed, which gives him enough time to pull up bullet points for every one of his supposed answers. So I doubt there's any authenticity about this guy replying himself. What he's doing is he's just reading the teleprompter, canned response that somebody from the DNC is sitting in the back room going, well, here's the question. Okay, quick, let's sort through our menu of available options. Okay, here's the answer that we want this guy to read and make it sound like he knows what he's talking about, when it's probably beyond his cognitive ability to answer any simple question on his own.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's bottom line where we are. And then as far as an SNL skit, last weekend, the SNL team actually decided that the Democrats are doing so bad that they're fair game for satire. And so they did an opening segment about the January 6th hearings, which was actually the first time in about 25 years that anything on SNL has been funny.
Nice. Very nice, Joe. I'm glad to hear that. Let me turn back to the Navy missiles made from the Twin Towers, because this is really stunning stuff. It was going to be the focus of our discussion. Let me just review some of the background here. Navy vessel made from Twin Towers, USS New York, memorializes 9/11 with steel from World Trade Center ruins. Feb 29, this is back in 2008, before they realized the problem. When the Navy's newest ship, the USS New York, is christened this weekend, it will serve as a memorial of September 11th and more than just name. The leading edge of its bow is made from steel girders salvaged from the ruins of the World Trade Center. In 2002, the Navy decided to honor New York State, New York City, and the victims of 9/11 by naming a soon-to-be-built amphibious vessel the USS New York. In a further act of symbolism, 7.5 tons of steel I-beams salvaged from the World Trade Center wreckage were melted and formed to make the ship's bow stem, the leading edge of the ship that connects the bow to the hull. The USS New York is the fifth ship of the Navy's new San Antonio class of amphibious ships that will be able to carry a landing force of 800 Marines aircraft and landing equipment. It'll carry a crew of 360 sailors. So, Joe, that's 1,160 are going to be contaminated by just being transported by the ship. The New York is the first of three Navy ships marking 9/11. Two future amphibious ships of the same in San Antonio class will be named USS Somerset and the USS Arlington. Somerset will be named for the county in Pennsylvania where Flight 93 crashed. As Bashir fought with hijackers, except it did not crash. That remained in the air and was over here, was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, after it allegedly crashed. And the USS Arlington will honor the country that is home to the Pentagon, also attacked on 9/11, except that Flight 77 wasn't even in the air that day. The ship also has links to another major event, Hurricane Katrina, which caused $20 million in damages to the Avondale shipyard in New Orleans where it was built, though the ship itself did not suffer significant damage. This Saturday, Dodie England, the wife of Deputy Secretary of Defense Gordon England, will break a bottle of champagne across the ship's bow with the words, "I christen thee USS New York." England was also in hand in 2003 for the laying of the keel ceremony when molten steel from the World Trade Center was cast for the bow stem for the new ship. Work will continue throughout 2008 to outfit the ship's engines and combat system and will enter the fleet in 2009. And now I take it our guests for today have actually suffered debilitating effects from being exposed to the radiation. Joe, pick it up.
Well, it wasn't just the radiation there. It was also the radiation I suffered at Fukushima while serving on the USS Ronald Reagan. It was required to be out there floating around in that toxic waste dump from that nuclear event, which probably was a false flag, too. There's evidence that veterans today that that was an underwater explosion that set off the tsunami that knocked out that particular plant. And surprise, surprise, there was an Israeli company that was in charge of surveillance at the camp, and they had placed surveillance cameras inside the nuclear power plant at Fukushima that weighed 1,000 pounds apiece. When you can get a Ring doorbell that does pretty good surveillance camera that you know weighs a couple of ounces, it's probable that there was some other nefarious activity going on at that nuclear plant besides that. Now, getting back to the steel, the American Steel Institute, ASI, has real strict standards on the use of steel construction, and they require that all the steel have ASTM, American Standards Testing and Material Labs, stamps on all of the plate steel, and all of the welds have to be performed by ASTM-certified welders. So we have the highest quality American steel with very good quality control, and if any of that stuff would have been radioactive, it would have been discovered in the course of fabricating those buildings, which the Twin Towers were fabricated at a boatyard on the opposite side of the Hudson in New Jersey, shipped across on barges, and then swung into place with cranes. And every bit of that was inspected, and there was no radioactivity in the World Trade Center material prior to the event that occurred on 9/11, as we described. And I'll put down in the comment notes the links to the Veterans Today articles that absolutely explain what happened.
Well, it's fascinating. Here's another article about it, that the USS New York was built with 24 tons of steel salvaged from the World Trade Center. As you mentioned, steel consists of iron and carbon, and you were giving us a fairly specific and exact account of how it became radioactive by virtue of the explosion that was done, the Palmer Report and all that, Joe. I mean, what kind of numbskull would build ships out of radioactive steel? I wonder whether the government was keeping that vital information away from those who were responsible, because this is such a catastrophic failure. I mean, this is so colossally stupid. Your thoughts?
I have to speak. It just shows once again, your microphone has been unmuted. Okay. It just shows once again the absolute disdain for the people that rule our world have for American veterans. Just like I think it was Kissinger said, they're nothing but fodder for the war machine, and we'll kill them whenever we want. So they have callous disregard for the safety of the servicemen, and I think it's just a way of rubbing your nose in it. It's like, we blew up the World Trade Center buildings. We're going to irritate your sailors on boats that are supposedly commemorating World Trade Center, just as a way of showing how powerful we really are and how powerless you are. Absolutely disgusting.
Joe, if it's good with you, I'm going to open the phone lines early of 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452 with any questions you have about any of the issues we've been addressing here. I'm simply delighted that I have Joe here with his background in relation to, you know, nuclear engineering, basically, as to what's actually gone on here, because it's staggering that we're being subjected to these effects, and that it looks very much as though a false flag nuclear event in Ukraine is imminent. And Mitchell, let me know, because I'm having trouble accessing the Skype. If we have a caller in, just let me know their name and their state, and I'll bring them in. I know you got a little background, Joe, there. That's not a problem. Tell us more about your take on what's going on coming up to the midterm. Do you think I've got it right? I'm not alone, of course, in believing that the Democrats are desperate to forestall the midterm when they will be essentially annihilated and eviscerated politically.
Well, October surprise is something that the two uniparty puppets, the rhinos and the dinos, have been playing on us for centuries. And, yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. They've got an October surprise, and it probably is going to be the nuke bomb and forcing us into a major world event against the Russian Federation, which is absolutely insane. One of the guys that I follow on a daily basis is Alex Christoforo, and he has a BitChute channel. Yesterday he covered extensively on the information about the planned nuclear attack. This morning he covered the fact that the EU, Ursula von der Leyen, has said that she's going to seize the $300 billion in assets that were frozen from Russia in order to rebuild Ukraine, like that's going to make a drop in the bucket difference. And then another guy that I follow on an occasional basis is a guy named Harry Box. He was Jewish. He was raised that way. He absolutely despises the evilness that's inherent in the leadership of that particular group. And he's got a blog that's been posted at BitChute by earthnewspaper.com called "The Dirty Bomb is an Israeli Land Grab, Geostrategic Real Politics Intelligence." And I haven't had a chance to watch it. It's a 40-minute long video, but I can guarantee you he knows exactly how the tribe has been manipulating humanity for the last 500 years, and he lays the cards on the table. So I'm looking forward to watching that, and then I'll share it with you, and then maybe we can discuss it when I'm back again on Friday.
Well, we have two of our regular callers on the line. We have Bruce in Texas and Brian in Missouri. Bruce, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Hey, yes. Hello, guys. Hey, Jim, if you don't mind, I sent you an email. It was a technical paper on the fission-fusion nuclear weapons. If you could send it to Joe Olson, maybe he'll be interested in overlooking it.
Sure.
Yeah, and on 9/11 there, I'm looking at several pages. I'm going to have to pull up one to summarize so I don't bore y'all with reading through a medical, you know, a white paper. A large analysis published in the JNIC Cancer Spectrum in 2020 found that WTC responders were 41% more likely to develop leukemia than other individuals in their geographic area based on publicly available incidence data. Not only leukemia, but lymphoma, breast cancer. And if you hunt around, they're still trying to peg this on asbestos. You don't get leukemia from asbestos and breast cancer. You know, these people are exposed to radiation. And I haven't seen one photograph from 9/11 and during the cleanup of someone with a Geiger counter. Several years later, Mayor Bloomberg tried to ban the private ownership of Geiger counters. Now, that's pretty curious, don't you think?
Yeah, sure, of course. Absolutely absurd. Unless you got something to hide, why would anyone take a measure like that? And they were banned in New York City, by the way, in the wake of 9/11. I mean, it's just outrageous. Joe.
As far as the asbestos, you can look up FEMA, F-E-M-A, CH underline 2, which gives the description of the buildings, the World Trade Center Twin Towers. And it says in there that asbestos was outlawed in 1972. The buildings were partially constructed at that point. There was no asbestos at all in building number 2. Building one only had about 30 floors of asbestos, and it was not complete. It was just on the major structural beam. Part of that was removed, and part of it was abated. So the asbestos thing is a complete straw dog. And as far as fission fusion, yes, that's how they made the first hydrogen bomb. They used the Teller-Ulam method of creating hydrogen inside the bomb by using lithium as a source for the hydrogen, and that produced hydrogen by fission, and then the hydrogen being inside the nuclear reaction was changed into helium, which is the fusion portion of the bomb, which was a fourfold increase in the yield of the bomb just by adding that lithium to it. So, yes, I'm very well aware of that particular portion of nuclear technology.
Okay, sounds good. And I'll just go ahead and let the next caller come on.
Okay, now, hold please. On. We have Brian in Missouri. Brian, join the conversation.
Yeah, I want to talk to Joe about the Keshe, K-E-S-H-E, over unity generators. I read online about how the Navajo Indians have these. They produce more energy. You know, they don't deplete on energy, and it's an Iranian guy that got really attacked by the dark. And there's a video on YouTube when you bring up these Keshe generators of a guy that takes a plastic Coke bottle and he mixes two chemicals in it, pours out the chemicals, makes some electrical connections, and he says, "Now look, this Coke bottle's empty." And then he puts a voltmeter to it like a couple hours later, and he said it created a plasma in this Coke bottle, and then it shows the voltage. Like, it's creating 34 volts, and I guess this is the basis of this Keshe, K-E-S-H-E generator. I tried to order one years ago. They're $1,500, but they're always out of stock, and I just wanted your comments on that, Joe, because you're scientific.
Yes, well, 34 volts or 36 volts, whatever it was, is a pretty minimal amount of power output. They had several articles on Keshe information at Veterans Today because he's been boycotted absolutely everywhere. It's really hard to believe that we've developed any type of over-unity power production. I'm still open to proof that something like that exists, but I don't see his breakthrough as being certainly enough to be able to solve the enormous energy needs we've got as a planet. So at this point, it's an interesting parlor discussion topic, but it's not something that I think has enough scientific validation to state equivocally that this is what is capable of happening.
Brian.
Well, thank you. The other thing I just wanted to point out was Henry McCow today had excellent stuff. He's got the pictures of Joe Biden with some 13-year-old girl, and he's nude. They had to black out his erection. It just made you sick to have to look at it. And I got lots of stuff on Hunter Biden, and they have to be Shabbat and Frankus. Any time you get these pedophiles, that's an indication that they're Shabbat and Frankus. And they had a thing, Frank Marshall Davis, that guy who was the communist black guy that the father brought the 18-year-old daughter and said, "Here, get her pregnant," and the result was Barack Obama. You're dealing with Frankus when you get that, and you know there was all kinds of dark ritual stuff going on to ensure that Barack Obama was just as dark as a soul as you could get. So anyway, Macau was really interesting today.
Excellent, excellent. Do either of you have further questions or comments?
Well, I'll say something about this, Bruce. The Ukraine, that seems like the liberals is Israel. Now we have two Israel to support. One, yes, for the neocons, yeah, and one for the neo-libs. That's pretty pathetic there. They're going to suck us dry. I mean, both of these parasites at the same time. And it's incredible that the new UK prime minister wasn't, you know, put into office through a general election, handpicked, the son of the richest person in India. His first phone call was to Zelensky, pledging his unwavering support. And there have been protests there in London over the economic straits that these countries are falling into. Germany's having big protests too, but they're not showing up on the NBC News with Lester Cuckholt. Man, I can't sit through a whole half hour of that garbage. It's incredible. They have no restraint at all in their propaganda. And I don't even know how many people even watch that anymore, you know?
Yes, 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 I know. The mainstream media are losing viewers right and left, especially because the news they report is virtually all of it false. None of it's relevant. None of it gives us any insight to what's going on. It's just a matter of manipulating public opinion endlessly. So I'll reiterate go ahead.
No, I'm going to go ahead and listen off the phone after I get to here. Yeah, I think the nuclear false flag, this is the window, like you said, for the election. And winter is coming, and once Ukraine has a hard freeze, Putin will be able to roll his armored division straight to Kiev, and that'll be the end of that. And so I think that's what they're afraid of. They've been mobilizing and putting, look how long it took for the United States to prepare for the Gulf War. It's like 6 months. So it's going to take a little bit of time, and the winter's coming, and the clock is ticking. So let's hope they don't go through with it, but they probably will, with a nuclear false flag.
Well, it's going to have severe ramifications for all of us, I'm sorry to say. Any other comments?
All right. Okay. No, I'm going to go. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling in again. Joe. Further thoughts as we're about to hit the break?
No, let's go ahead and go to break, and then I'll have some further thoughts when we get back.
Okay, remember, everyone, call in 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Joe, I welcome further thoughts of yours. I also have Mitchell standing by who has thoughts of his own. So would you like to go first? Need to unmute, my friend. Mitchell.
Yeah, when Congress created...
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, when Congress created the rotten CIA in 1947, they realized that they created something that would... had to have more congressional oversight. So they passed in 1948 the Smith-Mundt Act, where the CIA was allowed to propagate propaganda in Europe, mainly through Voice of America radio programming to Eastern Europe so that we could undermine the communists. But they were strictly prohibited from operating in the United States. Meanwhile, while nobody was looking, they set up Operation Mockingbird, where they infiltrated all of the U.S. media and they did propaganda in the United States illegally until 2012, when Obama signed the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, where they said that, okay, well, we've been lying to the American people since 1948 illegally, but now we will make it legal for the CIA and the news media to 100% lie to you about absolutely everything. And that's the state of the world that we're in it right now, is we're living in a Smith-Mundt, Alice in Wonderland false reality.
Yeah, fascinating. Mitchell, join the conversation.
Oh, spot on, Joe. Spot on. Yeah, we don't really have a good concept of what is real and what is not real today. If you listen to the mainstream media, you are literally living in Wonderland, and your name is Alice. You don't know where in the hell you are. All you know is you've gone down this rabbit hole, and you've taken some directions, and nothing in the world is right. Everything is topsy-turvy. Everything, the truth is the lie. The lie, what people believe is the lie, turns out to be the truth. And it's a dysphoria that we see created by news and information. It's intentional. So people are lost, and they're wondering where to get information from, and they really don't know anymore. The collegiate class has betrayed America, you know, the colleges, universities, you know, they have embraced this ideological Marxism. you can't get away from it. So I don't know what the answer is. I can't say, but first we have to stop going down the road that we're on, whatever it is.
Yes, yeah. In one of his first full cabinet meetings, Ronnie Reagan in February 1981 had William Casey there, and he said that we will know that our disinformation campaign is successful when everything the American public believes is false. And then about a month later, former director of the CIA, who according to the 5412 Commission was authorized to do extrajudicial executions with only approval of the vice president, who was then vice president, Big Bush, managed to stage set the attempted assassination of Ronnie Reagan. So, you know, we have these same nefarious characters pulling the same rotten nefarious tricks repeatedly. And the only way we're going to get around this is with honest history and honest science. And that's what I've been trying to promote my entire life. And I've got plenty of evidence of that. I've got a video at bit.ly/JOESON and then the number 2. It describes a series of events that happened in Houston starting in 1989, where I exposed a $200 million bid rigging contest on an illegal no-bid contract with the Disney Corporation to build a phony baloney monorail that was never approved as a transportation system for our city so that local contractors could get rich off it. Then I ended up in divorce court, where I uncovered an enormous amount of defects in the court system. I was involved in meeting with the FBI on hotel bribery contracts with city councilmen, the Houston Port Authority, and then there was 50 people that were under FBI felony indictments for bid rigging and kickbacks and contracts that were illegal at NASA, and all of those were dismissed by a Slick Willie appointed assistant attorney general in 1993. So bottom line is that I know from an absolute entire adult lifetime how corrupt our system is wall to wall.
Well said, Mitchell.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Joe. The nuclear false flag threat in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Now, Ukraine has, I believe it has 4 nuclear power stations that have, I think, all total 20-some reactors. I was looking at that up a few minutes ago. And it's 16 reactors or so across 4 nuclear power plant facilities. You know, there are specific signatures for each nuclear power plant as far as the uranium and as far as the, or are they kind of all generic? I know a lot about nuclear power and stuff, but I'm not sure if like nuclear weapons created at certain facilities or fissionable material has a certain signature. And I'm not aware or know if the nuclear power plants that the old Soviet technology that is in Ukraine, if that will all have the same signature, so to speak.
As a matter of fact, yes, they do have unique signatures. But the problem that you've got is that you're capable of doping whatever it is that you're using in the way of a dirty bomb. And so they can dope it with a signature to indicate that it was Russian, much the same as they can dope a footprint from internet contact that says, well, this came from a Russian server. And that was Vault 7 CIA material that was disclosed by Snowden. And so we know for a fact the FBI can finger anybody FBI and CIA can finger anybody they want on the internet. They can certainly finger anybody they want as far as isotopes on nuclear activity, regardless of whether it's a dirty bomb or an actual bomb. So yes, in answer to your question. It's entirely capable of these people tainting whatever evidence there is to present whatever narrative they want. And these people are evil beyond your worst imagination.
Hello, you have reached the voicemail for 816-67.
I was trying to call Brian back. He must have had to drop.
Sure, okay. Sure. More Mitchell.
Well, let's see. Russia is preparing. I don't know if, how much you've heard about this, but I know Russia is preparing for a major offensive in Ukraine.
Another reason why they might want to flood the area, you know. I mean,
well, yeah.
These Ukrainians are desperate. They're going to do anything. They don't care who they kill, who they maim, even to the extent of precipitating Clause 5. You know, for NATO to make that declaration is incredibly irresponsible.
Well, I mean, the 82nd Airborne is right in Romania right at this time.
101st.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 101st. Okay. I was, for some reason, I was thinking it was 82nd Airborne. But regardless, you know, we have basically, you know, our army doing a live fire exercise with Romanians within eyesight of the Ukrainian border. You know, that is, that's how wars, major wars start. So. And today, I believe it was yesterday or today, Russia kicked off its annual nuclear exercise. I don't know if you were aware of that, but so evidently the East and West.
That something that would have been, that would have been something it would have been nice to postpone.
Yeah, it's.
Well, what exactly does the exercise entail?
Well, it's basically they're launching ballistic missiles out of submarines. I would imagine it entails all the response in case there was a massive nuclear attack or nuclear attack on the Soviet or Russia. I call it the Soviet Union sometimes still.
Sure.
But yeah, they are, you know, effectively on, you know, war footing right now. I mean, I guess the way I have to look at it, you know, Russia cannot trust the West or NATO. They can't trust the United States. They've had more than enough of the false flag color revolutions that the U.S. has been using around the Mediterranean, around the Middle East, and now in East Asia. So Russia, you know, as I have said before, Kazakhstan was the crux of the point of no return. When the United States of America tried to fund another color revolution in Kazakhstan in January of this year, it was in February Russia went into Ukraine. And I believe that's a direct response to that, because we were supposed to be negotiating with Russia, with Victoria Nuland as the alleged lead negotiator on this move by NATO east. And, you know, the Russians have tried to negotiate for several years about that policy and about those actions, and they have all fallen on deaf ears.
Okay, well, first of all, Kazakhstan was definitely an exact duplicate of what they did with the Orange Revolution, the Rose Revolution, the Maidan Revolution, on and on and on. It's just absolutely the deep state overthrowing governments and installing their own puppets. We got to remember that the Kazakhstan is part of the home ground for the Khazarian mafia, along with Ukraine. And this I just looked up on JewishUnpacked.com. How many Jews live in the Ukraine and where? Okay. It's hard to estimate the Jewish population accurately. Estimates range from 49,000 to 400,000. this is in a country of Ukraine with 40 million people. So, you know, you're talking a tenth of a percent up to 1% of the population. But if you look at the leadership, they are 100% of the leadership in the Zelensky government and his military and his communication system. So they're and 100% control there. If you look at the U.S. military in America, Jews operate are less than 2% of our population. They're less than 1% of the enlisted force, but they're almost a majority in the brass. So what they've done is they've infiltrated the whole entire U.S. military power structure, in addition to infiltration of all of the news media, banking, and major corporations. So that's part of what we're dealing with. And they've openly stated that Ukraine will become Israel 2.0 because there's like 7 million Israelis living in Israel, and they're surrounded by 150 million Arabs that are not real happy with having them there and their behavior for the last 75 years, and they're going to be expelled at some point. So they're just looking for an exit. And if you can kill, oh, I don't know, 6 million Christians in the Ukraine, and you can kill 6 million Christian Russians fighting those Ukrainians, then maybe you can make a new homeland where you can move over and say, this is where we're going to live from now on. It's absolutely insane that we allow this tribe to have this amount of power over humanity with their very, very documentable evil goals.
Yeah,
The House progressives have retracted a letter to Biden calling for talks with Russians as though they're apologizing for suggesting that diplomacy should have anything to do with resolving the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. This is just embarrassingly bad. I mean, these people have no credibility whatsoever.
Jim, it really does show the lack of power that the...
That letter goes on and on about how the House Democrats, the 30 that signed that thing, support the neocon goals and that we really need to liberate Ukraine from Russian dominance and on and on and on. And they mentioned peace one time in the letter, and that's what they were forced to retract, is that they actually want there to be a diplomatic solution. Absolutely disgusting that we have a tribe that has that amount of control over everybody in our rotten Congress.
You know, there was a time when the Democrats were the anti-war party, and now they become warmongers par excellence. I mean, they're out front. These are the spear carriers. Mitchell.
That's a meme that's overplayed. Woody Wilson in World War I was a Democrat. FDR in World War II was a Democrat. Truman in Korea was a Democrat. LBJ in Vietnam was a Democrat. So bottom line is Slick Willie was a Democrat in the Bosnian War. So bottom line is we have these various monsters. And look at Obama. He's a Democrat in Syria and Libya. So don't keep poking that stupid trope about the Democrats or the anti-war party. They never have been.
Nice points, Joe. Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. You know, that there's one thing that you really have to hand the Democrats, that they have morphed from the party of Jim Crow to the party of a critical race theory. That they, you know, nope. That they have literally gone.
What's stepping on your cat?
From standing in the doorway, you know, to now trying to kick them out the back door. and all the time the Democrats claim they're there for their fairness, equality, and everything else. And after a while it just becomes so obvious that nobody is really fooled by it except partisans that have these blinders on, and that's all they see, that's all they think. And these mind control systems that are being put in place that have been human farming people for years, people don't realize that they can break those chains anytime. They just have to get away from the news and information systems that are instituting a specific code in their brain of news and information. So, you know, that's basically the matrix that we live is false, because people never get accurate information. They're basing everything they think, everything they know on literally falsehoods created. So they make mistake after mistake. And they blame themselves, not the people that have educated, you know, all of us. And we have to take responsibility for that. But at the same time, we have to make sure everybody knows and understands that we have been taught to think a certain way. And once we can get out of that pattern of thinking, maybe then we can see instead of blind.
Here's a story I haven't had the chance to report in Madison schools, which in the past have been pretty good. Honors classes under scrutiny. District rethinks how to bring more equity to advanced courses. The Madison School District is reviving a controversial proposal to drop standalone honors classes in favor of expanding the use of earned honors credits in standard classes. The heart of the issue is equity. Students of color and lower-income students aren't accessing the department's standalone honors classes as much as their white and wealthier classmates. I think the bottom line is going to be just give everyone a degree. Why make them even go to school? Why should anyone earn anything, take any exams? I mean, it's inequitable because blacks do less well. Maybe it's because they have less ability. Not all blacks do less well. But the statistical pattern is very clear. It's like crime. They want to let blacks out of jail. They think they've been prosecuted disproportionately when they're committing disproportionate number of crimes. The Democrats just have lost their way. There's such idiocy here. Assuming everyone's equal in ability and therefore they ought to be performing equally, or everyone commits crime with the same propensity. This is stupidity writ large, another reason to just wipe them out on November 8th, if we get there. Mitchell.
I think he might have dropped.
Joe.
No, I'm muted. I'm here. Bruce in Texas has joined us again.
Okay, Bruce, go ahead. Offer a few more thoughts.
Yeah, I'm here if you'll have me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this Kanye, K-Yum, whatever his name is, West, and his plight. I mean, he really found out fast who runs the entertainment industry and the banking industry, didn't he? I wonder if he even has a game plan. What are you going to do, take all his money? I mean, career is ended now.
Hey, man, he's a wealthy, successful, famous black guy, and he's going conservative. That's really the foremost sin you can commit in the eyes of the Democrat Party. So they're going to lambast every possible way they can. And by the way, we already have evidence that Google's manipulating their algorithm to inhibit correspondence between conservatives to suppress and promote liberals. This is just disgusting beyond belief. Joe, a final thought as we wind up?
Yeah, Google is also suppressing any ads as far as the Republican candidates. I encourage everybody to go to theconservativetreehouse.com. Here's just the headlines of what they've got going right now. Arizona Governor candidate Kari Lake responds to hypothetical threat of the NFL Super Bowl boycotting her for securing the border. That's item number one. Item number two, the Pennsylvania Senate debate between Fetterman and Oz. He explains that this is absolutely just what we described, that the guy's reading from a menu of bullet points that are incoherent with whatever the questions are being asked. And then this is the next item, Joe Biden pushing the vaccine booster, but only 20 million have decided to remain on the Rona coaster. So they're having problem pushing their perpetual jab program. And there's a great article at Veterans Today on the Colina group out of Spain about what's actually in the jabs. and it explains why they need to have at least a once every 6 month jab in order to keep the active graphene oxide elements inside the jab from being broken down and removed from your body. But bottom line is, if you get any jabs, you've got permanent damage. And the more jabs you get, the more rapid the onset of the, quote, side effects, which are virtually 100% intended, are going to be. So we've got a huge wake-up call in front of us, and the abnormal death rates are going to be a fact that they're not going to be able to hide too much longer, even with Smith-Mundt.
I received a report from our guest today that she's had a success in the court and is going to be able to pursue red flag laws legally, which is to be complimented. And therefore, I think that while we miss her today, she was doing good things in the courtroom, and we'll look forward to featuring her in the future, my friend.
I didn't get that message yet, but my God, she's a wonderful lady. You're going to really enjoy talking to her and her husband.
I want to thank Brian and Bruce for calling in, of course, and Mitchell, always steady. And Mitchell covers a lot of territory in his own shows every morning, 5 days a week, right here on Revolution Radio. Do everything you can to support these efforts of the alternative media, among the few uncensored, unrestricted, where you can get the truth, at least unfettered, as each of us sees it. We're calling it. Without any inhibition, without any coercion, and telling it like it is to the best of our ability. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your friends, your family, your loved one, with the latest development in Ukraine, the potential of a nuclear false flag involving nuclear events threatens to escalate into a massive nuclear war, which could decimate a third of the world's population in an instant. It's no time to take anything for granted. Spend all the moments you can with the people you love and care about.
Jim.
Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...